This is, as we have seen and heard, the title of our debate topic. However, if we simply emphasize a few words and introduce 4 points, we find that this statement becomes easier to reject. So our topic is, scientific journals and government agencies should review all papers for biosecurity concerns and refrain from publishing those containing information that may be helpful to bioterrorists. Well, maybe not, and in fact, probably not. There are many reasons why we should not refrain from publishing all papers that scientific journals or government agencies have reviewed and said simply may be helpful to bioterrorists. Here are 4 points that support this. First of all, we would find ourselves violating the most significant step in any scientist's research, publishing our results. Also, we would need to analyze and understand the costs and benefits of dual-use research and know that limiting publication of papers that may be helpful to terrorists could actually put society in greater danger. Third, existing government regulations and corporate research and development contracts already keep sensitive information from being disseminated to the public. And finally, the simple fact of the matter is this: coordinating such a restriction is impossible. First, we'll talk about the scientific process. It is ironic that we are debating this topic at a conference whose theme is communication, which is an integral step in the scientific process. Publishing results as a critical part of the scientific process is not only a time-honored tradition in science, but it allows scrutiny by our peers. Communicating results to the scientific community occurs most readily and effectively through publication in journals. It is important that this ability be maintained. In 2001, MIT President Charles Vest wrote, "The advanced education of scientists depends on the critical openness of the scientific process, publication, and participation in scientific institutions in and out of the United States." Next, we'll move on to dual-use research. It is important to realize that in order to decide whether a scientific publication is safe to publish, a systematic cost-benefit analysis is necessary. To do this, we need to understand what dual-use research encompasses. Here's the definition of dual-use research from the NSABB. Potentially dangerous knowledge, products, or technologies, as well as misapplications and perceived threat, are all terms that we cannot now capture with fixed lists or definitions. Yet, according to our debate topic, scientific journals and government agencies should refrain from publishing this indefinable information with no current logical, concrete cost-benefit assessments. It is imperative that science not be impeded by political and administrative ideology. And if scientific work hinges upon this flexible definition of dual use, then it may endanger the quality and progress the science our nation produces. Banning certain scientific research from publication based on ill-conceived, non-systematic analyses may actually create greater dangers to our society. Trust and confidence are key elements of international cooperation in arms control and security, so only complete transparency will allow nations to determine the intentions of others, discourage unfounded suspicions, and build confidence in multilateral compliance. The Corson Report, which was a 1982 report in the National Academies, concluded that greater security would be achieved by the open pursuit of scientific knowledge than by attempts to curtail the free exchange of scientific information. This is exactly our point. Moving on to existing regulations. Protocols are already in place to keep scientific information from being widely disseminated. The U.S. government has the Classified Information Act to restrict publishing selected government research, and corporations have confidentiality agreements to keep scientists from divulging information. Numerous projects have been successfully executed behind closed doors, suggesting that existing protocols are indeed sufficient to maintain security on issues of sensitivity without further suppressing the ability of scientists to publish their results. Finally, our last and most logical point, the logistics and illogic of limiting publication. Although increased security is noble and debates on its virtues and flaws rage on, The simple fact is this: the logistics of coordinating such a screening of publication are impossible. First, any ban would have to be international, as a national ban would do nothing except encourage scientists to publish elsewhere. Getting worldwide agreement on anything, much less on an issue of security, would be nearly impossible. Further, imposing bans on journal publication does nothing to stop this research from being disseminated via the internet, personal letters, or other means of communication. Dual-use research will not cease if it is not published. We can compound the problem by limiting science and in the end cause more societal harm than the harm we are trying to prevent. Limiting science didn't work in Galileo's day and is imprudent, let alone impossible, today. Thank you.
Thank you. You have 3 minutes to ask any questions referring to her presentation.
Yes, we do.
I'll be taking the questions.
Yeah. First, we would like to know whether you think that all science is always beneficial.
The question was, do we think all science is always beneficial? And no, we don't think all science is always beneficial, but we think the publication of all science that's conducted is always beneficial.
So can you explain again, how can limiting certain aspects of publication put us in greater danger? Can you explain that?
By limiting certain aspects of publication, he wants to know how that can pose a greater danger. When work is done, the knowledge is there. And if the knowledge is not made available to people who can counter potentially dangerous knowledge, then we've made it an insecure point for our society. Did I clarify that well? Or? Okay.
One more question.
Yes.
You mentioned in your statement that without cost-benefit analysis, journals should not do that, or government agencies should not decide whether to publish or not. So what about if they do a cost-benefit analysis, will that be okay after that if they do that?
He wants to know if a cost-benefit analysis conducted by journals and government agencies would suffice
and whatever they make. Will you be okay with that?
Well, our point is that the cost-benefit analysis is not based on definitions that we can attain. It's based on vague terms that don't have a true definition or are always flexible. So no cost-benefit analysis that's based on those terms is not acceptable.